You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight, the 5 o'clock shadow is populated, obviously, by myself and also Skalklo, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. He's come back from the whaling season, and he's back in his primary residence in Cape Town. Have a look at those SA Inc. stocks today, Skalk. What an amazing day on the JSE.
Yeah, just when you thought they're never going to return back to norm. They come up with this bit of a surprise. So what a day! I mean, when last did you see these types of companies? You know, and many of them making double figures.
Yes.
You know, we had a wonderful day on ShopRite yesterday, and due to very, very good results. I mean, we can touch on that a little bit earlier again. But after a phenomenal day yesterday, looking at another, 10% day. You know, True is up 11%. You know, Mr. Price up 5.5%. And let's not even talk about the banks. Everybody hated banks a week ago, and today, days later, hours later, we're looking at Absa, your bank, over 8%, positive for today. If you're a First Rand, 7.5%, Nedbank, 9%, Standard Bank, 9%. So what a phenomenal day.
It's a very interesting question I have now, and it's a single word: why?
Well, I don't want to give you the more buyers than sellers answer again, but Lindsay, we've been talking about this for many, many weeks, where we've said, we need to start looking at these evaluations. I know, so let's firstly start off by saying, when we look at the financials and banks specifically, this is, we've been a very small fish in a big pond. So the movement that we've seen over the past few weeks, we've pretty much tracked the international or the global bank index, to the T. Last week when we looked at it, in dollar terms, our banks were around about 3.9%, negative for that past 3 weeks, which we just couldn't understand. But if you look at the global bank index or the S&P, global, 1,200 bank index, we're looking at a 4% decrease over the same period. So firstly, we are seeing some bargain hunting. And I had a discussion with one of my colleagues literally an hour ago. When we look at, some of our stocks, and we'll touch on the SA Inc., version of that. But when we look at, banks specifically, when last were you in the position to buy banks below their book values? I can't recall that in the last 2.5 decades, last 25 years, I haven't seen banks trading at these type of levels yet. Your Standard Banks are trading at your 0.8, your Absas are trading at your 0.8 price to book values. This is phenomenal, phenomenal value. So could this be a dead cat bounce? Yes, possibly. I've also said that don't expect banks to sort of reevaluate or to restructure, over literally in a matter of a month or two. Because if you're going to be buying banks and expect them to react over the shorter term period, you might be disappointed. Well, I was wrong. You're not disappointed. If you bought earlier this week, you're looking pretty, by now. And that brings me to a second company, which people have been, if they've been following, my tweets lately, will know that I've been backing, a company like Remgro, for the past few days.
Right.
Because, this is another story. We were talking about price to books on banks trading below 1x, or, to put it in easier terms, they're actually trading below their book values. And just to bring this in perspective, when we look at the averages for the local bank sector, now I'm not using, Capitec, because Capitec has been trading at ridiculous levels, for many years. When you look at your typical APSA, and I'll get back to First Rand, when you look at APSA, when you look at Standard Bank, when you look at Nedbank, an average for them over the past 10 years is around about 1.6, 1.5, 1.6.
And you're saying that Standard Bank is trading at a price to book value of 0.8, or did I mishear you?
Correct.
So it's half of the average.
Correct. Mm. That's it. That's it.
Well, you don't need to say anything else. Apart from the fact that today was a knee-jerk reaction. What I want to know today about today, rather, was it foreigners? Was it local people? Was it the Rand? I mean, I'm looking at the Rand. It was 1690 earlier. It's now 1660. It's had a 2% move to the upside. So in the last hour or so, did opportunists come in and say, well, the Rand's strong, so therefore this. And also there's been talk of more interest rate cuts in South Africa. Who was buying today? Do you think the locals are buying?
Well, you know, when we look at the volumes for today, you know, I think that's important to note that when we look at the volumes today, we're not looking at a massive day. It's not a 30, 40, you know, billion rand day in terms of value traded. It's not even 20 billion or so. So it wasn't a big day. But when we look at the rand movement and we look at the, you know, the shares that actually moved, yeah, I think it's safe to say that there was definitely some foreign buying into a, let's call it a heavily, heavily oversold sector. Well, sectors for that matter.
Yes. Okay, well, good. Let's have a look at the spot prices before we get into more detailed analysis of a couple of stocks that I know you favour. The dollar rand is 16.61, the British pound against the rand is 21.59, and the euro rand is currently 19.63. And the euro dollar is 118.19, which is a 0.4% fall for the dollar and rise for the euro. The gold price is 19.45, which is up from its 19.22 level earlier today. I won't give the increment to the upside or the downside because my screen is inaccurate. Platinum, I've got up 21, though, at $924 an ounce. Where's palladium, please, Skulk?
Palladium unchanged for today, trading at $2,275.
Okay, the oil price has been very interesting recently. It's been interesting for the last few days, in fact, ever since Saudi Arabia. Someone leaked it out that they are leaking out their oil at heavily discounted prices. Whether it's true or not, who knows? But anyway, the West Texas is up today by 2.25% to $37.55. But don't forget, this was above 40 a couple of days ago. Brent crude oil is back above 40. It's $40.24, which is a 1.2% move. This is also quite a big story, I think, Scalp. We don't need to go into it now. We'll do that maybe tomorrow morning. But the oil price coming down is a positive for the world's economy and also for stock markets, I think, unless you're in Exxon or Chevron or whatever.
No, definitely. Well, if you're Exxon, Chevron, or even our local Sasol, Sasol in a wonderful day, a wonderful day on the JSE today.
Yes.
You know, being down 4.1%. Clearly, you know, they don't like this lower oil price level. So, despite those levels, I do think it's a positive. We still need, you know, we're looking at a market that is green, you know, year to date. We're looking at, you know, phenomenal movements again today in tech stocks. NASDAQ back to its old ways. So, you know, when we look at global market that is sort of knee-jerked from the March levels back to, you know, very close to being, you know, solidly positive globally. We tend to forget that when we look at GDP figures coming out from our side, coming out from international, we're still very much in a very uncomfortable position, and we still need to kickstart these economies, you know, globally, not just in Africa. You know, we still need to kickstart this. It's not a lot of tools to you know, any of these you know, governments' abilities, you know, to kickstart the economy. So, a lower oil price definitely will help, and I think that's what we're seeing here. Just a bit of a profit taking, you know, to a certain extent, but also let's just try and keep the oil low to try and kickstart this economy.
Yes, please. Dow Jones is up 1.7%. It fell around about 600 last night, I think it was, at one stage. Anyway, it's up 468 points at the moment. The S&P oil 1.7%. The S&P up nearly 2%. The NASDAQ up just over 2%, 2.3%, something like that. Incredible volatility. FTSE in London up 1.5%. Mm-hmm. DAX in Frankfurt, 2.1% winner. CAC 40 in Paris up 1.6%. Whether it can last, I don't know. But certainly the bounce back ability of these markets has been demonstrated in the last couple of hours. Very, very good news indeed. And hopefully it will last. What do you think?
Yeah, Lindsay, I think the underlying problem. So I think we're talking about two things. We were talking about, you know, some of our SIN companies, our banks. We were talking about global banks, global financials, and then the next moment we were also talking about tech companies that have this phenomenal bounce back. And do we ask, we were asked the question, do we think it will last? Now, I do think that your value stocks are still undervalued. Mm. I do think that the value stocks globally still show some great opportunity entering even into current levels. So if you ask me, do I think that value stocks will continue its let's call it relative outperformance? I would say yes. I would be somewhat worried about still some of these higher valued tech stocks. I think the movement that we've seen in these companies for the past, let's call it since last week Wednesday, it wasn't there for no reason. It was purely because,
Do you think it's just like the first wave rather than the end of it? There might be more to come, is what you're saying.
I think there might be more to come. I would be very, very careful, looking at this as a okay, it's all over. Let's get back into the tech stock market. Just be careful. I'm not disregarding any of their performances. I love these companies. I love Apple. I'm invested myself. I'm invested in Google. Love Facebook. I mean, so it's not that I don't like these companies, but if I receive new money now and somebody asks me, would I solidly go into these companies at current levels, I would be a little bit more hesitant. I do think that some of the value companies is looking a little bit more attractive at current levels.
Okay, good. But it's been an exciting day and it came from nowhere. What I like about this is that yesterday we were all slightly worried and we came in this morning, and even in the first hour of trading last night between midnight and 1 o'clock, the S&P having fallen quite sharply during the real session, the futures were down around about 1%, and I went to bed thinking, oh goodness, it's going to be a horrible day on Wednesday. Good for a broadcaster, bad for Skulk Low. But here we go. And now I've got the top five on the JSE Securities Exchange as follows. Truworths up 11.1%. TFG, that's for Sheeny, up 10.3%. ShopRite up 10%. Standard Bank up 9%. And Pepcor up nearly 9%. On the downside, MC down nearly 6%. Sasol down 4%. And Nepi Rockcastle down 3.6%. Wasn't there supposed to be some results out this evening from Aspen? Have they come out yet? No, probably not.
No, I haven't seen. NSSO, Growthpoint, and Momentum Metropolitan.
Yeah, that was this morning. Yeah, tell me about Growthpoint. Momentum Metropolitan. I don't want to talk about that one. But Growthpoint does it offer value? And did you see some value within those numbers?
So starting off, nothing that I've seen in the results were a surprise. I think, we all knew it's going to be bad. That we all knew that they were reevaluating, readjusting the net asset values on their properties, and they were revised downward. So last year, this time around, we were looking at a net asset value per share on Growthpoint. It was 24.98 rand. So just run about the 25 rand levels. So if we adjust that, and we're looking at a net asset value per share of 23.07. Now, to put that in perspective, that is basically, we were talking about the banks trading below their book values. Now when we look at property stocks, or more specifically Growthpoint, they're now trading at 45% below their discount. Let's take this a little bit further, because people know I like to look at history, where they were trading, and let's be honest, we know this is the worst period to be in a property stock. The gem in Growthpoint, it's basically the waterfront,
the V&A.
We've always said yes, the V&A waterfront. That's the biggest property in their portfolio. That's also it's called it the jewel. And even that, that could have suffered disproportionately, compared to the rest of the South African portfolio. And why? Because we don't see any tourists. We don't see, we've seen a total lockdown. Call it entertainment, restaurants, and that is what the let's call it the waterfront is built on. So it went good. We also know it's currently opening, and you and I, we both know, when you're down in Cape Town, I promise you that will be one of the first places you will go to when you come you're down from.
I go to Willoughby's and I sit there and I eat some of their delicious fish. And that's what I do. The first thing I do when I go to Cape Town, I go to Willoughby's in the waterfront, and then invariably I'm walking along and I'll buy something else. Yeah, it's a world-class facility, I think.
It is. So you know, I know it's been a horrible result. You know, it's trading at a 45% discount to the net asset value. So that's not good. But to take it back, so when we look at the, let's call it the period between 2012 and roughly around about 2016, this company was trading quite heavily above its net asset value. So effectively, share price was trading much higher than its net asset value. We also know it was a different period in the market. Property stocks were totally inflated, very much like some other sectors that is mentioned now. It was sort of a bubble environment. Then let's call it round about, just after 2016. So 2017, 2018, and even last year, it was trading at net asset value. So the share price were, you know, some weeks it was above, some week was below, but round about, you know, the let's call it the 26 Rand level, because that's where the net asset value was trading. Now it's trading at a 45% discount to its net asset value. So again, very similar to the banks. I think for the patient investor out there, and for the investor that says, well, you know, I think this is totally overdone. We will go back to the waterfront. There will be a movement back to physical property. I do think there's some opportunity within in Growthpoint, looking at the results.
As I said to somebody else today, I said, if you're going to be in property, be in the best one, be in the biggest one, be in the one that you understand. And I understand the waterfront as you understand the waterfront. So, and they keep on making it better and better. Give me the closing indices, if you would, Skulkler. On this really, really good day for South African stocks.
Yeah, I love being on your show on days like today. So I've been privileged today.
I love you being on shows when it's a horrible day, or you being on my show when it's a horrible day. But anyway, that's the difference between you and I.
I prefer these. I must admit, I prefer these. So let's go for it. We're all share today closed up 1.4%, closed at 55,211. Resource index, they were up 42 basis points. Industrials, they were up, 0.84%. And wait for it.
Go on.
Financials.
There
financials
we are.
Up 6% for today. What a beautiful day. So, you know, when we look at August, the whole of August, we were sort of focusing on, resource and industrial index that were positive. Let's call it 55 basis points and 30 basis points. And the financial index over the same period or August, they were down 4%. Today, they made up 6% of that losses. So, yeah, oh, happy days.
Brilliant. And the value traded was what?
So value traded for today was, like I mentioned earlier, we didn't reach that 20 billion mark, traded 18.3 billion for today.
Okay, but it's better than the 13 billion I think we saw on Monday, but that was also influenced by the US markets being closed. But anyway, really, really good day, and let's embrace it, and let's hope it continues its momentum tomorrow. And Skulk, talking about tomorrow, we'll speak to you tomorrow morning on the opening. But meanwhile, that was Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.